What the Health with Gabby Allen on FUBAR Radio.
Welcome to What the Health. Good morning. Today you are joined by Clara Hermit in for the incredible Gabby Allen, and we have a jam-packed show with all of your health and fitness needs with some incredible guests. I'm going to be joined on the show by Ben Wintour. He's the founder of an incredible charity doing amazing work. It's called Steel Warriors. And I'm also going to be speaking to Masha Remskar. She's a doctoral researcher in health and psychology and behavioural science. It's a lot, but she has done some incredible research, which I find so interesting, linking our mental health and the quality of our mental health to our exercise and how likely we are to exercise, which I find absolutely fascinating. Right, let's get into the first bit of this week's show. We are about to do Mythbusters, and today we are discussing something that many of us have talked about, have tried, have done, and that is green juices. Are they worth the hype or not? Well, you know, I'm not going to decide, but joining me now is Alexa Mullane, who's a nutritional therapy health coach. Good morning, Alexa. How are you?
Good morning. I'm very well, thank you. How are you?
I'm not too bad at all. Look, I'm really excited to talk to you about this because I'm always on the fence about green juices. Can you talk us through what green juices actually are?
Yeah, so, okay, there's been a bit of an explosion recently in these green juices. And essentially, most of them are sold as a powder, which is a combination of, I mean, sometimes 20, 30 plus fruits and vegetables and superfoods, all ground down into a powder, and people put them in a glass of water, drink it down, and supposedly they will transform your health. if you believe the hype.
Yeah.
But essentially, it's a food supplement. It's a natural food supplement. I think the problem is, we'll discuss the pros and cons of them, of which there are a few. And I'm not here to bash them or tell people not to take them. I'm not going to tell people to take them. But I think we need to know exactly what they are, why we should be taking them or not, and when to take them, and make our own minds up rather than listening to the adverts, the marketing hype, the TikTok adverts, of which there are many of them, which tell us that you have a glass of this green juice every day and your skin will be glowing, you will have all your gut problems will disappear, you'll have loads of energy, and it's all thanks to this miracle product, which, to be honest, that is not true. You really have to, with everything, you have to look at your whole diet, your whole lifestyle, make changes everywhere. And this, as the name suggests, a food supplement, it should be a supplement to your healthy lifestyle. And if used in combination with a healthy lifestyle and diet, then yes, it can have some benefits. But I think the problem is that these TikTok adverts are leading us to believe that this is a one-stop shop, a fix-all. You know, you don't have to change anything else. You just have this every day and, you know, you'll be transformed, which, unfortunately, I wish that was true, but it's not.
Yeah, you know, I have a rule for life. If it sounds too good to be true, it usually is, right? And I think when it comes to kind of diet and fitness miracles, superfoods, fast fixes, that's never been my experience. It takes, you know, effort, and it takes kind of repetition and repeating things and consistency. You mentioned pros and cons. So what are some of the health benefits of consuming these green juices? I mean, obviously, like you've said, on TikTok, it basically transforms your whole entire life. But what we're saying is that actually, look, it might not be that drastic, but there could potentially be, if used in conjunction with a healthy lifestyle, some benefits of consuming green juices. What are those benefits?
Yeah, I think there can be lots of benefits, like you say. So one thing is that they do contain a lot of plant sources, superfoods, things like chlorella, spirulina, wheatgrass, barleygrass, things that we probably don't normally have in our everyday diet. And these things are called superfoods because they contain a massive amount of nutrients in them, including things like vitamin D, vitamin B12, omega-3 fatty acids, which we don't get from a lot of other plant sources. So they can be really beneficial in our diet. And also it contributes to our, you know, nowadays we're told that 30 different fruits and vegetables and plants in our diet per week is really good for gut health because it helps the diversity of our gut microbiome. Mm-hmm. So it helps to contribute to that number 30 target that we're trying to hit per week. And that's great. And there's also lots of different nutrients in there. So like I mentioned, things like omega-3 fatty acids, which are really good for your skin. Vitamin B12, which helps to contribute to energy levels. Mm-hmm. There are things like, some of them have ingredients like kiwi, which is really good for digestion. So there are definitely nutrients in there that can and will contribute to our overall health. But they are not really necessarily in quantities that, if that's the only thing you're having every day, that's not going to be enough to get those results. And one of the problems that I think might become a problem is that people maybe would swap eating fruit and vegetables and just have this every day because they think, oh, there's 30 vegetables, 30 plants in here. I've done it for the day, mm-hmm. but that's not right. One thing, that the portions just aren't big enough. So we should be having, you know, 5, 6, 7 plus portions of vegetables and fruit every day to get health benefits. Mm. We also need the fiber from it. But these products, because you only have, you know, a teaspoon or up to a tablespoon a day, you know, we just don't have the same portion size in there. Also, it's a processed product. So they freeze dry the plant, they pulverize it into a powder, and in that processing you lose a lot of the fiber.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to ask you though. Is it still as powerful as if you were to have juice those kind of vegetables, etc., fresh if it's powdered?
I don't think so. I think fresh is always better. Yeah. Freeze dried has its benefits because some companies say they, you know, capture all the nutrients immediately and nothing is destroyed. But then in the process of the powdering, something, for instance, like vitamin C is quite a volatile vitamin that can be destroyed very easily. Right. So the pulverizing into a powder, we're probably going to lose a lot of the vitamin C from that. And also the fiber. So if you, lots of these products have things like broccoli and fruits and vegetables and spinach, which is great. But we're losing the fiber from those. So it is always better to eat them as the complete vegetable, which I know is harder. It takes more time and effort to eat them and cook them. I do think these juices have their place and they have their benefit as an additional extra, but I don't think we should be replacing these vegetables with them for those reasons.
Alexi, you just mentioned there a lot about, you know, one of the kind of things that's missing from these green juices is the fiber. Why is fiber so important? Because I think a lot of the kind of influencers, as you've said on TikTok, are claiming that actually I just take this powdered green juice, it solved all my gut issues. But to my knowledge, if you don't have enough fiber in your diet, that can cause constipation. That can cause, you know, all kinds of dietary issues if you're not actually getting enough fiber. And, you know, I think that sometimes there can be a lot of shame around talking about, you know, our digestive system and going for a poo, essentially. But it's a really, really important thing. What are the other benefits of making sure that we get enough fiber?
Yeah, absolutely. You're absolutely right. Fiber is so essential for our gut health and it's essential to keep us regular. If we have constipation, and, you know, some people can be going to the toilet, having a poo once a day and still have constipation if they're not completely emptying their bowels. Right. And I love talking about poo, by the way. So talk to me about it all you like. We should every day be, you know, looking at it, looking at, you know, the colour and the consistency. Is it too wet? Is it too hard? But, you know, a lot of people have constipation and without even knowing it. Mm. And it can be really detrimental to our health. So not only just to our gut health, and like you say, you know, it can cause cramps, pain, bloating when we're constipated, but also it can lead to chronic constipation, can lead onwards to different, you know, diseases. You know, it can be not a major cause, but it can be a factor in colon cancer and things like that. So it can be, chronic constipation can be, you know, really detrimental to our health. It's also really important that we keep everything moving to clear out old hormones, especially for women, for instance, so, well, and men as well, with estrogen in our body. Estrogen gets excreted through our feces. And if it's not being excreted, it can basically get reabsorbed into the body and recirculate in the body, and that can cause issues having too much estrogen. So having constipation can have a knock-on effect throughout our entire body and our entire health, really. So it's really important. So fiber, yeah, definitely is really, really useful for that.
It's so interesting. I think, you know, even at 41, I am learning new stuff about my body all the time from having conversations with people like yourself. And if, you know, anyone will take lots away from this interview, but definitely pay attention to your poo is what we're saying, essentially, because it's really important. And we're not taught that, and we're not told that. And then, you know, it could be a sign that we have something going wrong, or it could be a really simple fix. Essentially, you're not getting enough fiber in your diet, and if you had more, that could completely change how your body is digesting food, and like you said, getting rid of all of those waste products and actually clearing out our guts properly. So when it comes down to it then, Alexa, do you think that these green juices are worth all of this hype that we're seeing everywhere? Or is this just another way to sell us something that essentially we could potentially do ourselves?
Yeah, I mean, I do think a lot of it is about the marketing and selling us another supplement. I mean, there are a lot of superfoods in there and a lot of nutrients. But, you know, you can walk down the road, go to a hedgerow, get a big handful of blackberries and eat those, and you're getting a lot of the same nutrients, and it's free, and it's local, it's seasonal. You know, there hasn't been all this processing involved. So we don't need them. We definitely don't need them. I'm not bashing them because I do use them myself sometimes. Yeah. But I think it's like everything in moderation. You don't want to overdo it. You don't want to replace actual food with it, because that would be a mistake. And just another note. So some of them that I've seen, some of them have the nutritional information on the packet. So they will tell you how much vitamin C, how much vitamin E, etc. is on there. Some of them don't, and I think it's really important when we take supplements that we know what we're taking, especially if you're on other medications. So for instance, if someone is on a an anticoagulant drug like warfarin that thins the blood, you don't necessarily want to take large amounts of vitamin E, for example, because that can have an additive effect. So, you know, if you're someone who's on medication and you take these products a lot, I would go to your doctor and just check with those as well. And I think these companies need to have more responsibility in telling people that they are a supplement. They do have bigger, you know, large amounts of nutrients in them that we, you know, we might need to look out for.
Yeah.
So in balance, I would say they're not a bad thing. If you want to add it to your diet 2 or 3 times a week, great. They can also, because there's so many different vegetables and plants in there, they can also have a detrimental effect on some people's digestion, because it's a lot to digest 30 plants in one go. So someone might find that they actually don't agree with them at all. But on balance, we definitely don't need them, but they can help, like we said at the beginning, in a balance of a whole healthy diet and lifestyle as well.
So they can be a support, but they can't be a replacement, and they're not going to be the sole thing that suddenly, you know, revolutionizes your health and your gut health and your skin health and etc. But they can be something that supports and supplements it. Look, Alexa, it's been so lovely to talk to you. For people who are listening, joining us on the show today, who might want to know more about nutrition, who perhaps have a question for you, where can people find you?
I'm on Instagram, Nutrition by Alexa. You can message me there if you want to, follow me, and yeah, have a chat. I'd love to hear from you.
Brilliant. Look, thank you so much for joining us. It's been an absolute pleasure, and I hope you have a fantastic rest of your day.
Thank you.
Thank you. That was Alexa Mullen there talking to us all about green juices. Are they worth it? Are they not worth it? To be fair, I haven't actually had a, you know, kind of the powdery mix at home ones, although, like Alexa was saying, I have seen them all over TikTok, and, you know, maybe worth a try to throw into a smoothie or, as she says, a couple of times a week. But do not, you know, make them responsible for your whole health and gut health and etc., because they're just a supplement. I think that's the key messages of that interview. Right. It is time for my exercise of the week. So the exercise that I've decided to go with this week is an exercise that I can't actually do unassisted. And that is, I think, the holy grail of exercises. Excuse me, the pull-up. And I have decided that it is my mission to be able to do at least one unassisted pull-up by the end of this year. That is my goal. And I have set that as my goal. So what I've been doing to try and kind of get there is obviously exercises to build my, you know, my back muscles, to support my arms so that I am getting stronger. I've also been doing some dead hangs and lots of assisted pull-ups with a band. So that's kind of my go-to. And I was training with my friend, Leila Mehmet, who's a PT last week. And she got me to do some other things. So some holds. So on the pull-up bar, actually holding myself up. And she was making me do that for 25 seconds after I'd done lots of other assisted pull-up style exercises. My whole body was kind of, you know, shaking. We were also doing some kind of, what do you call them, like descent. So going up into the hold and then lowering myself down really slowly. And the next couple of days, it was somewhat painful, but I'm really determined to do an exercise. And I don't know if anyone else saw it, but I think it was earlier this year, there was kind of that clip going around of these male podcasters saying, do you know what percentage of women can do a pull-up? 0% or something like that. And then there was kind of lots of women who were doing their pull-ups and showing that actually women can do pull-ups. And I want to be one of them. So I'm very, very determined. And I will be keeping you up to date on that. I post lots of stuff on my Instagram stories about my pull-up adventures. And hopefully I'm going to be able to get to the point where I can do more than one. But I think that's just going to feel like such an achievement. And that's one of the reasons why I love exercise. Right, next on the show, I am going to be talking to Ben Winter, the founder of Steel Warriors.
Fubar Radio. That Money Show with Gabriel Nussbaum.
What's kind of that one golden thing that you like to share with people who are trying to start a business?
That's a really easy one, because I have a mantra which, you know, I say to young people all the time, and they really get it when I say it. And it goes like, don't undermine who you are by comparing yourself with someone else. It's because we are all different. Why each of us is special.
You're listening to Fubar Radio. Download our app now to listen to your favourite shows, such as Access All Areas, Politics Uncensored, and The Dating Show. You can also download and catch up on previous episodes of all Fubar shows, including our box sets. Plus, you can get in touch directly from within the app. Just search for Fubar Radio on the Apple and Google App Stores. Yay! The Fubar Radio app. Get it today. Get it today.
I was fine on this beach the other day. I didn't know the time of high tide changes, and I had no idea it could come in so fast. So I'm finding out the hard way. From this fella, the Coast Guard, who dropped in to get me out.
Ready!
Before you go to the coast, check the tide times online. In an emergency, call 999 and ask for the Coast Guard.
Some companies try to reel people in by promising quick cash if you pay them to claim work expenses. But think twice before taking the bait, because they might just want to land a commission, and it turns out you aren't eligible to claim anything. You'll have to pay HMRC back, and it's unlikely the company will refund any fees. So don't get caught out. Check if you're eligible and make a claim with HMRC for free online. Just search Don't Get Caught Out.
Access All Areas with Bobby Norris.
What's going on in the DMs? Are you getting naughty pictures from fans? Girls, are you getting the odd little pic? I bet they're popping the DMs.
Yeah, the DMs are doing all right. I've got a lot of cousins, big family, so they're all touching base.
Yeah.
There's a few girls in there as well. I've had some fruity videos come through.
Oh, so, tell us a little bit more.
You wanna go there?
Yeah, we're going there. Access All Areas, mate.
Politics Uncensored.
I felt like it was a little bit, they wanted to go viral. They wanted the clip to end up on socials and be able to go viral, and there was nothing substantive on it. So to be honest, it kind of pissed me off because I thought it was a throwaway comment made for social media as opposed to actually giving voters information they need when they enter the voting booth.
Totally agree. And I also found the whole, I think you said something about Keir Starmer's strings being pulled by senior members of the Labour Party. I found that slightly conspiratorial.
Follow us at What The Health Show for more from Gabby. This is What The Health.
This is What The Health with Clara Hermit here for Gabby Allen. Welcome back to the show. And I am now joined by Ben Wintour, who is the founder of a charity doing incredible work. It's called Steel Warriors. And Ben joins us on the line now. Good morning, Ben. How are you?
Morning. Yeah, very well, thanks. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you too. Great to have you with us on the show. Now, Ben, what we like to do is to give you some quick fire questions just so we can get to know you a bit better before we find out more about Steel Warriors and the work that you do. So are you ready for some quick fire questions? Is your brain in gear?
I hope so. We'll see.
We'll find out. Okay, so the first question is 3 words to describe yourself.
Impatient, positive, and kind, I'd say.
Sounds like you're talking about me. And I like the fact that you went with kind of the impatient first, you know, and that you acknowledge that about yourself. I think it's important that we're kind of aware sometimes of little flaws that we have. Ben, the next one is, what is your life's motto?
I think I'm going to take the motto from an old school that I went to, which was do it with thy might, which I quite liked. It's an old Latin line, but, you know, everything you do, you've got to give your all.
There you go. I like that one as well. Do you work out in the morning or in the evening?
I work out in the afternoon.
Oh, in the middle.
Come and beat the rush.
It's a good idea, isn't it? The gym's always quieter if you're going there. Even I know you do a lot of kind of calisthenics and outdoor gyms, but again, they tend to be quieter in the afternoon. And finally, Ben, what is your go-to cheat meal?
Shoulder of lamb.
I think that's the only one you didn't have to think about too much.
Or a Domino's.
There you go. Hands are up in the air. I don't mind a Domino sometimes. Other pizzas are, of course, available. Right, so let's talk about Steel Warriors. First of all, Ben, what is Steel Warriors?
So Steel Warriors is an anti-knife crime charity that was founded in 2017. And what we do is we take knives that come off the streets, mainly from the Met, and we melt them down and recycle them into free outdoor gyms for the community. So we've now building our 5th gym at the moment, and we run free training sessions to support young people and to get them involved, particularly young people affected by youth violence, and get them involved in training and a new sense of community, and hopefully in a positive direction that can ultimately lead to them getting work.
Which is absolutely incredible. And I do think, you know, we talk about this quite a lot, that we're in a time now where a lot of youth services have absolutely disappeared and young people feel quite disenfranchised because there isn't those kind of places for them to go, places to socialise and to get involved in activities that are potentially really positive for them, both mentally and physically. So I guess it must be quite rewarding to be able to kind of, you know, get those gyms actionable and get people going along to those gyms and to watch people's transformations, I suppose, as well.
Yeah, it's really rewarding. And I think at the beginning when we opened our first gym, we really had no idea. Well, we hoped it would make an impact, but yeah. We really wanted to kind of challenge ourselves and see if it would. And we didn't want to obviously steam ahead and start building without understanding that whether it was making a difference. And I think you know, hearing some of the stories and learning more about the lives that some of these spaces has changed has been a great driver for us to keep going and doing what we're doing.
And since founding the charity, have you observed any changes in crime rates in the areas where the gyms are?
I think there are definitely what we've tried to kind of observe more is, like, you know, more of the stories. Because I think the data when it comes to knife crime is obviously it's very shocking, but the data points are quite small in terms of actual incidents of violence. So given that the data set, it might be 5 people have been, you know, injured or even killed perhaps in a year within a small area. But those aren't accurate data points to say tangibly we've made a change. Yeah. What we focus on primarily is how many young people who perhaps were in gangs or were excluded from school have we managed to bring in to our community and support them. And I think that's really the way that we're trying to kind of evaluate the difference we're making.
Yeah, and I think that's a great way to do that as well, to kind of see the real life impacts that you're having on people's lives. You mentioned at the start that obviously you take the kind of the steel essentially from knives from the Met, so that they've collected, or in knife amnesties, etc. How much is that? Are we actually talking about? Because you know, in my mind, that would be a few knives here and there, but it's quite a lot, isn't it?
It's a ton a month that comes in from the Met Police, so London's police alone.
Wow.
And I mean, at this point, we've actually had to ask the police to stop giving us knives simply because we can't afford to store so many of them. We're currently sitting on around 10 tons of knives.
Whoa.
And we have a whole bunch of gyms that have been prefabricated. So, our ambition is to fail in a way, to kind of run out of knife steel to build with. It's definitely, I think that insight around the police taking a ton a month was something that really shocked us. And I think it's a powerful visual metaphor for how, or, you know, significant the problem is.
Yeah. And I suppose you must hear stories from the kind of young people that you're working with about why or how, you know, they decided to kind of maybe pick up a knife, or to decide that actually that lifestyle was not for them, or they were going to actually put that knife down and exchange that for, like we're talking about, the classes that you do. So what types of fitness classes does Steel Warriors provide?
So at the moment, we've kind of broken our classes into two different domains. So we've got our regular community classes, which welcome everyone and anyone to our gyms. You don't need to sign up. You can just show up to our spaces. And we tend to run three sessions a week, particularly over the kind of spring and summer periods when it's a bit warmer. But also there's a connection between warmer, you know, the summer and higher levels of knife crime. So those are more kind of general community sessions. And we felt that it was really important to involve everyone actually as a community space in our gyms and in our classes. And then we work with youth referral units to engage more at-risk young people in more tailored classes, where our trainers, the same trainers and a few other members of our team support more at-risk young people separately. I think that way we welcome every, and they're obviously, those young people are very free to join our general classes as well. But we felt, I think at first, we started these free classes, and then we realized perhaps these classes actually aren't engaging as many at-risk young people as we need them to engage. But then at the same time, we had so many, you know, such great feedback from people in the community saying, you know, I've been suffering from loneliness, or I've been really affected, my mental health or my physical health, and this space has really enabled me to kind of come in. And we've also seen other members of the community being great mentors for young people. So we didn't want to just excommunicate that value simply because it wasn't directly supporting those only who are involved with knife crime. And so we felt at the same time it's really important to make sure that we're doing that first and foremost. So that's why we've really got this tailored intensive youth prevention program, but also supporting the wider community. And actually both cohorts really go hand in hand and can support each other, and people can really learn from each other, which is great.
Yeah, and I think just, you know, that's the thing, isn't it? There seems to be a lot of focus, which I really love at the moment, I think, on the power of exercise and creating community around exercise, because that's what keeps people coming back. That's what keeps people involved and consistent and motivated, is that they have this kind of almost support system, network, community, whilst they're exercising. And I can also imagine that when you have the wider community involved, that those young people are then, like you said, you know, kind of finding some mentors, finding people who might have been on a similar path to them, but then completely transformed and turned around their life. And I think when we have representation like that for young people, it makes such a huge difference. So obviously we've spoken about the benefits of community that are happening around these classes, but what are some of the key benefits of calisthenics training? Because obviously, you know, a lot of the time we see online, we've got people in the gym and then you do have people who just train outside. But, you know, are there some benefits that are kind of individual to calisthenics training?
Sure. Yeah. So I think, I mean, calisthenics, one of the reasons why we chose calisthenics is... because it's been adopted by people in prison for years as a way of developing more physical confidence and keeping fit in prison. And there's a nice kind of synergy also in terms of working with prisons and how that relationship might work when people come out of prison mm-hmm. too. But also I think one of the biggest, despite being a very inaccessible word, calisthenics is a very accessible sport. And so, you know, you don't need to sign up to a gym. You don't need a pet. You can just show up to one of these spaces. And so it's very inclusive. We've got all kinds of different members of the community showing up. And so I think that kind of inclusive nature of the sport is really great. And there's also, you know, you can be a total beginner. And, you know, we've had 90-year-olds attending classes. And we've also had pro athletes attending classes and generally just making use of the equipment. So I think there's a real kind of broadness and range in terms of ability and what can be accommodated within the discipline of calisthenics.
Yeah.
And I think the final one is that there's just a real culture of support, you know? So many people tend to gravitate towards each other and give each other tips, and it's very kind of, community focused as a sport. You don't really see many people working out kind of in isolation with their headphones on, keeping themselves to themselves and waiting for their turn to, you know, use a piece of equipment like you might see in a regular gym. I think there's a much more of a culture of kind of support and helping each other develop, which is really nice.
Yeah, and I guess we both said earlier, I think that's what keeps people coming back, isn't it? That kind of sense of community, that sense of support, and also seeing the benefits, I guess, once you start to be able to achieve things that can really help improve someone's self-esteem. And I think that's a really powerful thing. Look, Ben, it's been so lovely to talk to you. For people who want to find out more about Steel Warriors, who maybe want to come along to one of your open sessions, where can they go to find out more?
So you can Google us. And on our website, steelwarriors.co.uk, there is information on our training times. We've got a very exciting announcement going out tomorrow, so you can keep your eyes peeled for that. And you can also donate through our website if you want to support our mission and help us kind of continue to help young people.
Sounds like you're doing an absolutely incredible job. Ben, thank you so much for being with us this morning.
Thanks for having me on.
No worries. That was Ben Wintour, who, of course, is one of the founders of Steel Warriors. And you can find out more at steelwarriors.co.uk. Right. Coming up after this break, I'll be joined by Masha Remska, doctoral researcher in health, psychology and behavioural science.
FUPAR Radio. That Money Show with Gabriel Nussbaum.
What's kind of that one golden thing that you like to share with people who are trying to start a business?
That's a really easy one, because I have a mantra which, you know, I say to young people all the time, and they really get it when I say it. And it goes like, don't undermine who you are by comparing yourself with someone else. It's because we are all different. Why each of us is special.
You're listening to FUBAR Radio. Download our app now to listen to your favourite shows, such as Access All Areas, Politics Uncensored and The Dating Show. You can also download and catch up on previous episodes of all FUBAR shows, including our box sets. Plus, you can get in touch directly from within the app. Just search for FUBAR Radio on the Apple and Google App Stores. Yay! The FUBAR Radio app. Get it today. Get it today.
One in five people in the UK are disabled, and it's not always visible. So if we've made ourselves at home in priority spaces on the bus or train, surrounded by our shopping bags or bikes, we could be making it harder for the people who need that space more than us. So let's not forget about the people we share our journeys with. and keep priority spaces clear for others. Remember, it's everyone's journey.
When it comes to heart attacks, you might be surprised to hear the symptoms don't always feel severe. You could experience a squeezing across the chest, a feeling of unease, a sense something's not quite right. Don't be tempted to dismiss the signs and wait to see what happens. The faster you seek medical help, the better your chances. It's never too early to call 999 and describe your symptoms. Your NHS is here for you.
Access all areas with Bobby Norris.
What's going on in the DMs? Are you getting naughty pictures from fans? Girls, are you getting the odd little pic? I bet they're popping the DMs.
Yeah, the DMs are doing all right. I've got a lot of cousins, big family, so they're all touching base.
Yeah.
There's a few girls in there as well. I've had some fruity videos come through.
Oh, so, tell us a little bit more.
You
no,
go, you go there.
Yeah, we're going there. Access all areas, mate.
Politics Uncensored.
I felt like it was a little bit, they wanted to go viral. They wanted the clip to end up on socials and be able to go viral, and there was nothing substantive on it. So to be honest, it kind of pissed me off because I thought it was a throwaway comment made for social media as opposed to actually giving voters information they need when they enter the voting booth.
Totally agree. And I also found the whole, I think he said something about Keir Starmer's strings being pulled by senior members of the Labour Party. I found that slightly conspiratorial.
Keeping fitness fun. What the Health with Gabby Allen.
You are listening to the What the Health show. Gabby Allen isn't here today, but Clara Hermit is instead. Welcome back to the show. It's been an incredible show so far. I have learned lots. I've had some great discussions, some great conversations. Don't forget, if you do not have the FUBAR app, you need to get it so you can stay up to date with all of the shows. You can listen back whenever you want to, and that way you won't miss a thing. Right, it's time for me to welcome our next guest to the show. Joining me now is Masha Remsker, who is a doctoral researcher in health psychology and behavioral science. And I am really excited to talk to Masha about her research. Good morning. How are you?
Hello. Hi. Thank you so much for having me on.
Oh, I'm really happy to have you. I've been reading some articles about your research. So obviously, I know a little bit about it, but everyone else doesn't yet. So Masha, can you talk us through this research?
Yes, of course. So I'm a researcher looking at how we can use mindfulness, mindfulness meditation, mindfulness training to help us feel better mentally and actually also live a healthier lifestyle. So potentially also for some physical health benefits.
Oh, go on. I was just going to say that's the bit that's like that I find incredible, because I feel like I've noticed that in my own life, that as my mental health has improved, it's made me want to do physical exercise more so because my internal dialogue is supportive of me. And then the more exercise I do, the better I feel mentally.
Exactly. I mean, you got this right on. So we actually have found in our research that people who do mindfulness, even in bursts as short as 10 minutes per day, can actually, one, feel a lot better mentally, but also start feeling more inclined to do more health behaviours. So that is things like do more exercise, and people intend to be healthier. And what is great about this is that we think mindfulness can actually help you train up those psychological skills that you might need to live healthier. So what you said there, your mind is more supportive of you living healthier as a whole.
Yeah, it's really interesting to kind of read research that backs up, you know, what I've been experiencing. And one of the other things that I thought was really fascinating about this research is that when you had 1,000 people, right, and you had a control group of 500, and then the other people did the mindfulness 10 minutes every day, but this had long lasting impacts. It wasn't just whilst they were doing the experiment. The impacts and the positive impacts of that lasted long beyond.
Exactly. So we, in this latest study, we asked people to do 10 minutes a day of mindfulness for 30 days, so 1 month. And then we actually got back in touch with them a month after that month had already done. So people weren't necessarily doing mindfulness anymore every day, but we saw that they still reported feeling a lot better. So that could have been down to one of two things. Either they were still doing that mindfulness, and we know some of the people did stick with it because they found that it was so beneficial. But actually, even those people that didn't stick with doing it every day, because they'd learned some of those skills in the first month, we found that they were still experiencing the benefits to their mental and physical health.
It's just incredible, isn't it? What, obviously, we're talking about these benefits to their mental and physical health. What are some of the kind of specific benefits that people reported?
So with mindfulness, there really is a full range. Sometimes people will see benefits really quickly. Sometimes it takes a little bit longer. But what we generally see people reporting is that they feel more peaceful. They feel calmer. They sometimes start noticing some of those thought patterns that previously they would have gone years and years without even noticing, that, you know, they might go down this unhelpful rabbit hole that then makes them feel, I don't know, like they're experiencing low mood. Or sometimes people actually start experiencing more gratitude because they're able to check in more with themselves with, okay, what am I feeling right now? What have I got to be grateful for? So those are just two things that people report experiencing. But what you said as well is that people do actually report feeling just better equipped, more inclined to look after their holistic health better as well.
Yeah, it's fascinating, isn't it? What do you say to people? Because I hear this a lot from people. I can't meditate. I can't. They'll say, I just can't. My mind is too busy. I can't sit still. I don't know how you're supposed to do it. I think I'm doing it wrong. I just can't do it. Do you have a rebuttal for those people?
We hear this so much. Yeah. And in fact, we know that sometimes those very people have the most to gain. Right. So the first thing I would say is the fact that you're noticing those things, your mind being busy, is the first step. So you're already doing something right. And then the next thing I say is, do try sticking with it for even a few minutes at a time. Because in fact, mindfulness training, if you're successful at it, is noticing that those things are happening. So what people actually see is, oh, I can't do this, is them in fact them being able to do it successfully. And then the final thing I would say is there is no such thing as completing mindfulness, being perfect at mindfulness, right? So people that have been doing it for decades and decades will still very regularly feel their mind getting busy. So that's really not a sign that you're failing at it, but rather a sign that, you know, you've noticed yourself getting better at it.
Yeah.
So yeah, just kind of stick with it for a little bit. And if the kind of more formal seated meditation that people tend to think of, so, you know, someone in a lotus position with their eyes closed, if that doesn't quite work for you, there are other ways of trying to do it. So for example, you can try and go for a mindful walk where your body has got something to do, but you're still trying to practice that presence, that, you know, you're noticing your surroundings, you're noticing the way your body feels, what your thoughts are doing. So actually you can bring mindfulness into different contexts where it might work for you a bit better.
And I guess, you know, for people who do exercise consistently and completely grasp the concept that to keep my muscles toned or to, you know, grow my muscles or to be able to have more stamina, run faster, I have to consistently, you know, kind of push myself and repeat the same thing over and over again. I guess our mind training is exactly the same. If we, you know, if we stop doing it, okay, our bodies aren't going to straight away go all the way back to where they were at the beginning, but there'll be a gradual decline in the benefits that we are, you know, experiencing. However, if we are consistent with it and we keep doing it, it just gets better and better. And mindfulness and our minds are the same, right?
Exactly. So consistency really is key. And the thing is that just like with exercise, we're not going to be on top form every single session, but the key is to keep coming back. So with that consistency, and even with there is a bit of fluctuation with, okay, today's session wasn't as great as yesterday's, if we keep coming back to it, we are bound to keep experiencing those benefits.
Yeah, I think it's just about doing it, isn't it? And kind of getting it done and making it part of your routine. And speaking of routine, what would be some of your top tips for incorporating mindfulness into our kind of daily routines? Is this something that do we have to do it every day to get the benefits?
So this is slightly debated. The data isn't very clear cut on this, I would say consistency and that habit is really, really key. And for most people, that does mean doing it every day, even if for a shorter period of time. So what I personally like to do and what research has found is really beneficial is to try and do it first thing in the morning. And that's because it's easiest to build habits that way, where, you know, you start the day off and then you've already done something great for yourself. And it can be, again, a short burst, like 10 minutes first thing in the morning. If that's something that doesn't work with your routine, you can also try doing it last thing before bed. That is another kind of nicer way of incorporating it into routine. And again, for people with very, very busy schedules that might not even be able to fit that in, there's even ways of doing it in super short bursts. So even something as short as, you know, a tea break, you're waiting for your kettle to boil and you can do a few mindful breaths then. And that is a way of bringing a tiny bit of mindfulness into your day.
Yeah, I guess just being conscious of the fact that you're doing it, right? So rather than just being caught up in your thoughts, it's about having that awareness and being present. And I used to do sometimes meditation on the train because I'd have a long train journey. Mm-hmm. So I'd just sit there, close my eyes, put my headphones in if it was a guided meditation, and off I go. Yeah. Everyone else probably thought I was having a little nap on the train, but no, it seemed like a good use of my time, right? So there are ways that we can kind of build it in because no one else knows that what you're listening to or what you're doing. You could just be listening to music, right?
Precisely. And there are so many tools, including free tools like mindfulness mobile apps that can really help people get started with this. Mm. And even once you've had a bit of practice, it's still nice every now and again to go back to a guided session. So yeah, something like making the most of your commute by doing a mindful audio guided session is a brilliant way to get it into your day.
Can I just ask you, why are you so passionate about this? Where does your kind of like drive and desire for this research come from? Because you are really passionate about it. And like you say, this is something you use in your own life.
I do, yes. Well, thank you. That's a lovely question. I think my own interest in mindfulness training actually started from knowing a few years ago that I was finding it quite difficult to stick with a regular exercise routine. So in particular, I was trying to get into running. And I was just finding it quite hard. At times it was a bit boring. And then, you know, when you first start exercising, it feels quite difficult. Sometimes you get out of breath and you just feel a bit, I guess, disappointed with yourself. So I was finding that quite difficult. And then I started practicing mindfulness at the time for different reasons, for kind of, you know, mental health reasons. And then after a while, actually found that exercising was a really great way to bring mindfulness into my routine as well. And I, in my experience, have found that when I started gaining those psychological skills from mindfulness, it was actually easier for me to take up a running habit. And I've since then been a runner for years. So that was where my own interest came from. And then I actually went to look up some of the literature in a true academic way on, you know, what could this be about? And I actually found that there wasn't really much literature into why this might be. So I decided to do a PhD on it.
Which is incredible. And I think it's so important because one of the questions that I think, you know, trainers, people in the exercise field get asked all the time is, you know, how do I stay motivated? How do I stay motivated? And, you know, I think motivation comes and goes, doesn't it? Consistency is what we're looking for. That comes, I think, sometimes from self-discipline. But I noticed when I was younger, my motivation for training was vanity. I was obsessed with, you know, I needed to look a certain way. And it wasn't good. I hated myself. Mm-hmm. And I was really cruel to myself and unfair to myself. And when I started to love myself more, I lost that kind of motivation because I didn't have that fear driving me. Mm-hmm. I didn't have that kind of nasty internal voice telling me that if I didn't do this, I was worthless and I was useless and etc. So I had to then start looking for, well, how do I be consistent, you know, from a place of self-love? And I think the more that, you know, that kind of internal voice changed, and I got to go to the gym. And now it's like there's actually a voice in my head. My name's Clara Hermit. And sometimes it will be like, come on, Hermit, or well done, Hermit. And I'm like, that's, you know, that's the kind of thing that you need. It's like having someone, not your worst enemy inside your mind, but like a support or a coach in your mind encouraging you. And had I not have done that work, internal work on my internal dialogue and my mental health, then I don't think I would have experienced those things when I was exercising. And thus, I don't think I would have stayed consistent. So I just find it fascinating that your research is proving that this is actually a thing.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, you're spot on. I think that a part of the big value of mindfulness is that reframing of our internal dialogue and seeing how we can go from that very kind of stern, sometimes even aggressive or you know, yeah, quite hostile tone towards ourselves into actually a kinder, more welcoming approach that does allow for, you know, mistakes, that does allow for falling off the wagon every now and again, if we then try and come back to it, right? And if we then welcome ourselves back into the habit and say, okay, you know, maybe this is a position we found ourselves in. We got ill, we got injured, and now we start back up again. And I think, yeah, again, that is really, really where I think the value of mindfulness lies. And that's why I'm so passionate about spreading the word about its benefits, not just to mental health, but at the end of the day, to physical health as well.
Yeah, it's incredible and fascinating stuff. Thank you so much for being here with us, Masha. I really appreciate it. I know that you're on Twitter and obviously you post about kind of research that you're doing or people that you're looking mm-hmm. For trials, etc. So where can people find you if they want to follow you and stay up to date with all of your research?
Yeah, thank you so much for having me on. It's been such a pleasure. So people that do want to keep up with my work, I think Twitter or X is the best way. So that is at Masha Remskar. That's MashaRemskar. And I post a lot about, you know, my current work and anything else that's kind of relevant. So yeah, anyone interested is very welcome there.
Thank you so much, Masha. It's been an absolute pleasure. Enjoy the rest of your day.
Thank you. And you.
Thank you. That was the incredible Masha Remskar there. What an interesting topic to look at, because it just shows how interlinked these two things are. And I think we talk a lot about how physical exercise makes your mental health better, but it's interesting that making your mental health better can also make exercise better. It's this full circle, and I love that. Right, it's time now for some of your questions. And if you do have a fitness question and you want to get involved, you can of course DM us at What The Health Show on Instagram. So at What The Health Show on Instagram, follow us, DM us, get involved in the conversation. Let's start with the first one then. This is from Lucas, and Lucas asks, I want to start working out, but I'm terrified of going to the gym. I'm not that interested in the free weights and would stick to the machines, but I'm scared I'll be judged as I'm a guy. Advice. So I think it's really, really, really important to say at this point that a lot of the fears that we have about going to the gym, how we're going to be perceived, exist in our mind only. Most people who are going to the gym are going there for themselves to do their workout, and they really don't care about what anyone else is doing. And I think that's one of the beautiful things about the gym. You know, it's kind of, it's nice that you can build a community there and you can have conversations with people if you want, but you can also go there and just be in your own zone, and that experience is for you. So what I would challenge you to do, Lucas, is to go and try it out. And I think if you go to the gym once, your fears will dissipate hugely. And I think the judgment that you're thinking you're going to experience, you will realize and understand does not exist. And I think, you know, like I said, in most gyms, people are just going there to do their workout. And there is nothing wrong with just wanting to go on the machines and build up your cardio, or just wanting to use the free weights, or just wanting to use the resistance machines. It's your workout. It's your experience. So I think remind yourself that this is for you. You're doing it for yourself, and just go, and you will find, I think, that some of that fear kind of drops away. And my other advice is that a lot of gyms offer a free personal training session or an induction even. All gyms offer a free induction with a member of the fitness team. Do that so that A, you know one person at the gym, so that when you're there, you recognize someone and you can have a conversation with them. And B, so that you feel empowered and you know what you're doing in the gym. So that's my advice for you, Lucas, and I hope that it helps. Emma asks, how do you wait for a machine? I only use the lat pull-down machine and I'm never sure what to do when it's occupied. On the one hand, I don't want to appear to be rushing the person on the machine. On the other hand, I want the person to know that they shouldn't waste time. Get on with it. Also, I want other people to know I'm next in line for the machine so they don't dare cut in. Help! This happens a lot, I think, in the gym, and I find myself in this situation on a regular basis. So I think there's a couple of things. If there's one person doing the lat pull down, sometimes I'll say, do you mind if I jump in? So when they're doing their rest, I can just jump in and do my set. It's the lat pull down. You can adjust the weight so easily. It really doesn't matter. I often train with my friends and we will literally swap over exercises. So I think it's fine to just say to someone either, can I jump in with you? Or how many sets do you have left? And if they've only got a couple of sets, yeah, don't stand over them being like, oh, hurry up. And, you know, kind of invade their personal space. But you can kind of take a few steps back and just wait for them to finish. And if you're willing to do that, that's absolutely fine. I think, or you can just say, hey, I'm just going to be over there on that machine. Can you give me a wave when you're done? People are generally quite open and friendly in gyms. And I think, you know, we have to be willing to share machines. I don't mind if someone else jumps in with me when I'm doing an exercise. And we have to be willing to go and say to people, how many sets do you have left? So we know roughly how much longer they're going to be on that machine. I think don't overthink it. Just, you know, be friendly, approach somebody. And as I say, don't invade their personal space. But I think it's absolutely fine to wait for a machine. But you just want to know how many sets they've got left so you're not there forever. Eliza asks, I've started lifting and want to track my progress. Is it better to take photos or track by my clothes? I would say for tracking your progress, photos can be great. Also measurements. I am somebody, I don't own a scales and I won't. So yeah, I think that's two great ways is photos, taking measurements, and then you can always go back and re-measure. I think they are the best ways. Your clothes, you know, you're leaving it a little bit to chance. Look, it's been fabulous to be here with you on the What the Health show. I hope that you have enjoyed it. Of course, Gabby is back next week from 11 a.m. Thank you to all of my guests who have been here on the show. We spoke to Ben Wintour. We spoke to, of course, Marsha. And right at the start of the show, we spoke to, quick, who was my first guest? It was Alexa, the incredible Alexa. Right. Thank you, guys. It's been a brilliant show. And Gabby's back next week.